Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to True Crime Garage. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Nick, and with me, as always, is a man that knows that if you don't make it on the Buckeye football squad, well, you can just go up north and play for Michigan. He is the captain.
Welcome to Rivalry Week. Welcome to Turkey Week, you turkeys. It's good to be seen, and it's good to see you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend.
Today, tonight, and for the rest of the week, I am and we are drinking Harvest Ale by the brilliant and hardworking people up at Founders Brewing Company. Garage grade, it is impossible not to give this beer 5 out of 5 bottle caps. Listen up, because just like Drew Barrymore used to say, it's so magical. Because each fall, thousands of wet hop cones arrive just hours after being picked by Founders' favorite local hop growers, and thus the Harvest Ale. A bright IPA bursting with pine, melon, and citrus. Stay thirsty, my friends. And Harvest Ale was brought to us by these magical friends. First up, we have Mindy in St. Charles, Missouri.
And a big we like your jib to Colleen in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, this one says, get on it like a car bonnet. That is from Emma and Steve over the pond in Westcliff, Essex, UK.
And staying in the UK, in Edinburgh, we have Alana.
Next, we have Adrian, who says she loves to lash and listen. And also to try Big Rock Brewery, that's from Adrian in Calgary, Canada.
And we have the Gentleman Hobo from Bismarck, North Dakota on this Gentleman's Tuesday.
And last but not least, we have a beer fund donation from someone going by PMT who wants to recognize the end of watch for a good man and a brave officer. This is Deputy Burbridge of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Department in Iowa. Unfortunately,
Pottawatomie?
Yeah, I hope I said that right, but unfortunately, he was killed in the line of duty earlier this year. So, of course, on this week of giving thanks, we want to thank Deputy Burbridge for his bravery and hard work for keeping families of that community safe for many, many years, and our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. All right, Captain, everybody gather around, grab a chair, grab a beer, grab a turkey leg. Let's talk some true crime. Sunday, December 11th, 1994, Livonia, Michigan. A police officer is responding to the Wonderland Mall on Plymouth Road on a report of a missing 4-year-old boy. Upon arrival at the mall, the officer met 25-year-old Dawana Harris. Dawana is the mother of Dawan Sims, the missing 4-year-old boy. The officer immediately obtained the description of the missing child from the mother. DeJuan Sims is a 4-year-old African-American little boy with black hair and brown eyes. He is approximately 3 foot to 3.5 foot tall and weighing 45 to 60 pounds. He was last seen wearing a blue winter jacket over a multicolor windbreaker jacket, dark blue sweatpants, and black Fila low-top tennis shoes. After receiving the description, the officer contacted Livonia Police Dispatch and reported DeJuan Sims is missing. A teletype to all area law enforcement agencies was sent. The officer asked the mother to explain exactly what happened when she entered the mall in detail. DeJuan says her and the little boy left the residence at approximately 1:30 p.m. She estimated that they probably arrived at the mall between 1:40 and 2 p.m. DeJuan Harris stated that she parked her Ford Thunderbird in the north parking lot across from the Target and walked with her son into the mall, entering at the doors between Target and Famous Footwear. DeJuan and DeJuan then went to the videotape department, where she told her son she did not have enough money to purchase a videotape for him. She told the boy they would go ask DeJuan's grandmother for some money. DeJuan's grandmother is also DeJuan Harris's mother, Beverly Harris. Beverly is working part-time on the weekends at the Ladies Foot Locker store on the other side of the mall. DeJuan told the officer that her and DeJuan walked through the Target store, just looking around for maybe 20 minutes. Stating that her and the little boy left the Target store together at approximately 2:30 p.m., walking through the East Mall entry doors. DeJuan said she walked next to her boy until they came to the area of the KB Toys, where she says DeJuan was talking to her as he walked behind her. She asked him a question, to which he did not give an answer. DeJuan Harris turned around, and just like that, her little boy DeJuan was gone. Okay, she thought. He must have went to the toy store. DeJuan ran to the KB toy store and looked for the little boy. She ran up and down each aisle. She did not find her son. She then checked the surrounding stores, including the food court area of the mall, but she was still unable to locate DeJuan. She told the officer, "I searched for him for about 30 minutes. Then she located a cleaning lady working at the mall. She tells her about her son who is missing. The cleaning woman calls the Wonderland Mall security and informs them of the situation. DeJuan Harris, along with several security officers, searched the entire mall for approximately 90 minutes. During the search, DeJuan notified her mother, Beverly, that DeJuan was missing. Beverly assisted in the search. When the boy could still not be located, Beverly called the Livonia Police Department. After speaking with DeJuan's mother and grandmother, the responding officer met with Security Officer Randy Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer told the officer he was notified about the missing boy by one of the mall's maintenance workers at approximately 3:45 p.m. At that time, Pfeiffer and four members of the mall security team searched each store and the parking lot. Along the way, they informed all or most employees of the stores of the missing subject and instructed them to contact the security office if he was found. After meeting with Security Officer Pfeiffer, the responding officer from LPD instructed Pfeiffer to continue the search until further notice, and he requested more LPD to the scene. An additional 5 officers and a sergeant on duty were dispatched and sent to the mall. Once the officers arrived at the mall, now 7 of them, they met at the east end of the mall near the American Eagle store. They were given a description of the little boy along with a specific area for each to search. They searched each store, all of the hallways, the food court, the movie theater, each bathroom, and the entire parking lot surrounding the mall. They searched behind stores and alleyways. First, an organized grid search, and then, when they found nothing, the officers along with the security team remained on site and continued to search, triple-checking each area and location. Two of the officers asked Tawana to go with them to the Target store. There, they learned the Target store had stationary security cameras set up at each of the entry and exit doors to the store. The officers confirmed with the Target store security officer that the cameras were operating and recording during the time that Dawana Harris said she and Dewan had entered the store. The officers requested that they be allowed to view this tape in hopes that Dewan would be seen on tape leaving the store, giving the officers a better idea of the time and potentially a suspect in the case. Dawana Harris sat directly in front of the television screen and viewed the video while a police officer and security guard were present. At approximately 1:44 p.m. video footage time, Dawana stated, "There I am," and pointed to the video screen. Officers observed an African-American female holding the hand of a small child and exiting the store. Dawana positively stated that was her and Dewan. The officers observed the two subjects walking out of the east door of the Target and then standing directly at the threshold of the store. It appeared the female was talking to the child. At this point, Dawana said, "See, I'm telling him that we cannot buy a videotape because the checkout lines are too long." As the tape ran, the woman walked further out into the mall, still inside of the video camera. Dawana said, "See, yep, I remember walking out that way." Officers then observed the female with the child in the video walk south toward the main aisleway. Dawana stated, "Yep, there we go." The officers continued viewing the tape, but did not observe a single child or a child with an adult walk in the opposite direction or past the camera. Police requested security to blow the image up to full view. In doing so, the police observed the woman that Dawana claimed to be, with the child in the video. She was wearing a brown hooded jacket and a baseball cap with a white emblem on the front. The officers observed Dawana at the present time watching the video to be wearing a black coat without a hood and no baseball cap. The officer then requested that the sergeant come and view the video with Dawana present. Again, Dawana narrated her actions as she watched the subjects on the screen go out the Target doors. With the image blown up to full view, the officer pointed out to both the sergeant and Dawana the differences in the clothing between the individual on the screen and Dawana Harris. When the officers confronted Dawana with this, she sat silent for several minutes and then reconfirmed what she had previously told the officers, "That's me," and then added, "That's not a hood, that's my collar." When the officers again pointed out the differences in clothing, both color, hood, and ball cap, once again Dawana sat silent for several minutes, and then she said, "Oh well, I guess that's not me." The officers then sat with Dawana and viewed the surveillance footage from an hour before she said she had arrived at the store, all the way through to an hour after she said the boy went missing. At no time did the officers observe Dawana and Dewan enter the store. At no time did the officers observe Dewan on any of the video footage. The officer confiscated the surveillance footage from the Target store and asked Dawana if she would go to the police department to give a statement to the detective. She agreed to go. 4-year-old Dawan Sims was not seen on any video footage from that Sunday, December 11, 1994. He was never located that night. And after giving her statement to the detective, Dawana Harris went home that night. This is the case of Dawan Sims. This is a strange case, Captain, because we have a small boy who goes missing from the Wonderland Mall in Livonia, Michigan, back in 1994. Now, this is early December, December 11th, so we have to put ourselves in the mindset of this mall at the time. We are in full swing of the holiday shopping season. And this case came recommended to us by several of our listeners up in the great state of Michigan. Now, we were able to track down Randy Pfeiffer, who was one of the security guards working at the Wonderland Mall in Livonia, Michigan, that day that DeJuan went missing. Just to give you a little bit of an idea here, Livonia, Michigan, it's about a 25 to 30 minute drive west of Detroit, to give you a little idea of the location here.
Yeah, and with it being Turkey Week, there's going to be a lot of people shopping on Black Friday, and the malls will be packed. And this is a big fear for a lot of parents. You go shopping, and you turn around, and your kid is gone.
So let's introduce Randy, who was working as a security guard at the Wonderland Mall on December 11th, 1994. Randy, can you tell us a bit about yourself and what occurred that day?
Sure. So my name is Randy Pfeiffer. I grew up in a small town outside of Detroit. And on December 11th, 1994, I was working as a security guard, in Livonia, Michigan, in a mall. It was called Wonderland Mall. And in the nice suburban area of Livonia, Michigan. I was going to school, and then this was kind of during the summer. I had taken this job and continued on into the fall and into the winter. So
obviously, during the holiday season, it's going to be a little different. Can you take us through a typical day?
So average day for us would be, especially during that time, you know, the mall's crowded. Malls were still big back then. There was no Amazon or anything of that sort. So a typical day was just going in, patrolling the areas of the mall, make sure people are safe, people are doing the things that they're supposed to be doing, helping shoppers find things, deterring crime, if you want to call it, helping out with typically like retail fraud type things. If somebody tries stealing something, and that business is always up around that time of the year, you know, and then dealing with the lost children or lost child calls, which we typically would get probably about probably 10 a day, maybe around that time. And they would just be really quick. Can you meet so-and-so by the food court or by the arcade or something? They can't find their kid. Meet up with those people or meet them at the information booth. I think the longest anyone we had ever, up until that point, found missing was like 5-10 minutes tops. They were always, like I said, in the arcade or in the toy store or down by the movie theater or something of that sort.
Okay, and then what happened on December 11th, 1994?
So on this day in particular, there was nothing out of the normal had happened. It was just a typical Sunday. Mall opened a little bit later on Sunday, so everything was getting going. So it was about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got a phone call from one of our help people, maintenance people, called to say that there was a lady who had lost her child down by the Target area, which is where one of the anchor stores were. So we went down there. I talked to her for the very first time. She was physically upset, you know, crying and everything. Asked her for the normal description of her son, how old he was, what he was wearing, you know, what was the last place she saw him, and kind of just let us down. We, you know, went hit the typical places, the toy store. He was 3 years old, so I don't know how far he would have gotten at 3 years old. I didn't have kids. I was 18 years old at the time, so I didn't know. It wasn't around many 3 year olds, so now that I think about it, I was like, where would a 3 year old go in a mall without somebody saying something? So we checked the arcade, checked the toy store, food court, didn't see him, so we continued to walk down the mall a little bit further. And, you know, at that time, got the information out to all the other security guards out there, even in the trucks that were out patrolling the mall and the out parking lots and internally and over the loudspeaker. Some time went by, probably about 45 minutes went by before we actually called the police. I don't know if that's just, you know, I guess we just weren't in that frame of mind, and we've never had anything like this happen. There was no kind of timetable to call anyone. There was no protocol behind it. So we just did our best there. So we called the police. Police showed up. They met with her. You know, we did continue to walk around the mall, went to the offices to make phone calls if anybody had, you know, I believe if anyone that she knew had him or, you know, had come up to the mall or anything of that sort.
But kind of a typical situation for this time period. I mean, you have an average of about 10 kids that go missing per day. In this case, you have all hands on deck and you come up empty handed.
We came up empty handed. So a little bit later in time, we, you know, a couple hours go by and we're in the Target anchor store, and the police are with her, and I'm in the loss prevention area with her where all the Target cameras are. And at that time, our mall only had stationary cameras. They were black and white, and we only had a couple of them at the entrances. But we were lucky that at the entrance that I met her at, there was one. So that came up a little bit later in the investigation that kind of set the framework for the time. But anyway, we were in Target and we were going through the cameras with the Livonia police, and we were asking her to kind of point out where she was, where she come in at the time she came in. We didn't have her and him on camera at any point in time coming into the Target store or into the mall. They began to ask her questions such as, can you try and point out, does anyone look like your son that was leaving any of the entrances there? She was pointing out a couple people. One of them she pointed out was definitely not somebody that would meet the description of her son. And I think at that point, the Livonia police started getting a little suspicious. They started asking a little bit different questions, and she was getting upset about that. So she started to clam up, didn't really say anything. And then right around that time, the father of the boy came in and met us there, and they weren't together, apparently. So he came in, and we were talking, and he was, you know, where is he at? Where is our son? This and that. And he was getting pretty upset about it, too, as well. From that point on, we left the Target store and continued just to still walk around the mall trying to figure out what was going on, you know, and we pretty much had every cop in Livonia at the mall at that point. That lasted till around, I want to say, like almost 7 o'clock at night. The mall had already closed, and we were still looking.
So you guys spent the majority of that day searching the mall. The mall closes at 6 p.m. on that Sunday. Several of the other stores, including the Target store, they remained open for a few hours after that. Did you only search that day for Dewan Sims?
Up until then, like days after, we tore that mall apart, even that night. It was a mall that was a little bit older, and it used to be an exterior mall where there was no covering, and they just put a roof on it, so it had all these exterior doors. So part of the thing was to search that mall top to bottom. I mean, there were stairways and basements that were drywalled over. We knocked through them to see if there was anything behind there. We had to get in every single back corridor, every single a back room and basement and of every store that was in there. And we searched that thing top to bottom with probably about 30 people and came up empty handed.
The mall wasn't the only thing that was searched.
You know, they expanded that search into the areas around her home, railroad tracks by her house, if I'm not mistaken, too, as well. And there's just never been a trace of the child found anywhere. And it's just sad.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Save a lot of money with Mint Mobile. Get their great mobile wireless service delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. That's premium service at a great price. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TCG. That's mintmobile.com/TCG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TCG. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
All right, we're back. Happy Turkey Week. Safe travels to everybody.
Cheers, Captain. We're talking with Randy. Randy, we're talking about Dewan Sims. 4-year-old Dewan Sims has gone missing. Tell me in a little more detail about when you first encountered his mother, Dewana. I mean, was it everything you expected to see? Is it the typical reaction by a parent who has lost a child? And where and how did she say that they got separated?
She basically said that they came to the mall. They went in the front entrance of an anchor store, which is Target, which is an exterior entrance, not directly into the mall. They were walking around, and she just looked down, and he was gone. At that point, she was looking around for him and then came out to the exterior mall and got a hold of one of our maintenance people to call and ask for help to help find the boy. Yet her demeanor was exactly what I would expect from somebody who was missing a child. She was upset and gave all the descriptions she could of what her son was wearing that day, how old he was, what his name was and stuff, and was pretty cooperative at that point walking around trying to find him.
So her demeanor is pretty typical of a parent that has just lost their child. And does she have any bags with her? I mean, she claims that she was in the mall shopping for a while.
No, as I recall, she didn't have anything with her. She still had her jacket on, and when I met her, it was just a typical quick conversation. What does he look like? Don't worry, we'll find him. This isn't a big deal. I remember her saying, this happens all the time. This is probably like the fifth or sixth kid we've had missing. We'll find him in a couple minutes. I'm pretty sure he's probably either in the toy store or in the arcade, which was very close to that entrance, and just was very positive about the outcome being good. You know, who would have thought anything different at that time?
So after you guys retrace Dewana's steps, looking for the boy in the mall and the Target store, you come up empty-handed. It's at this point that the police officers are going to ask Dewana to view some of the security footage with them from the Target stores.
Yeah, correct. So what had happened was we had gone into the room. I believe there was two Livonia police officers with us. We were going through the tapes of the times that she said she entered the mall, and even a half an hour before there, if she got her time to her. So we went through a ton of tape, and she could never point out herself on camera or her son on camera. The only time she ever pointed anything out on camera was not her child. It was somebody who may have been walking with another kid. I think at some point she even pointed out a little girl that was with somebody. But, and the Livonia police started to question her more and more about time, where she was, what are the exact areas she was in the store, and could get nothing or no video confirmation to where she was at the time she said she was there. And at that time, the father showed up, and he was very upset, and he seemed upset with her too. And I'll even go as far as saying that he seemed upset with her about where their kid was. And then the Livonia police started asking a lot of questions, like, where did you come from? What time did you get here? What did you do this morning? Things of that sort. Started to try and dig a little bit deeper into the situation. And at that point, she decided that she was I'm not going to say she was completely combative or not cooperative, but she started getting upset as to and just throwing out things like, why are you not looking for my son? And then it just turned into her just being quiet and then walking along with the rest of the police just answering pretty much the exact same questions that over and over that the police had came up for and were asking her.
So now her actions kind of seem a little suspicious. But before this, was she begging for you guys to, like, call the police? Like, you know, help me find my kid. And once she couldn't find the kid, did she go, hey, call the police?
No, not at all. So it was it got to be enough time to where we decided that we weren't going to be able to find the child. And that was a whole another thing that happened to us. There was things that happened after this that got put in place because we didn't call the police in time. You know, we were all under the gun about why didn't we call sooner or why didn't, you know. But, hey, I mean, I was 18 years old, and I think the oldest person that was working as security in the mall was probably like 23 at the time. None of us had any experience with any of these things, and there was nothing written down about calling the police. But we eventually did, and they came, and it, you know, escalated greatly from there. So,
well, there's no protocol for this sort of thing because, like you said, you guys get reports of missing children constantly throughout the day, and they're always easily located 5-10 minutes later at the arcade or the toy store in the food court. Now, regarding that day, was there anything that stands out to you as suspicious about Dawana's behavior?
To that point, one of the big things that came out over the years, and I had known for a long time, is that her mother worked in the mall and never cared to share that information with anyone. Her mother worked at a Lady Foot Locker that was down in the center of the mall, completely opposite end of where we were, and not once did we ever walk down there. And apparently she knew that her mother was working that day, but again, we never went down there we went down that area, but never made contact with her mother. Nothing was ever said about that I know of at the time that I was with her. And her mother actually was, if I'm not mistaken, she was at the time a Wayne County sheriff, sheriff's deputy for, I believe, the jail down here in Wayne County.
Okay, so at this point, suspicion is turning on Dawana Harris.
Mm-hmm.
She's starting to look like she may know a lot more than what she has told the police by this point. But after being questioned by them and being questioned by Dawana's father, did Dawana do anything that caused you to question things that she had told you and your staff that day?
Yeah, other than going quiet.
No, because it was just that she couldn't corroborate any of the stories that she said with what was on film. You know, they just didn't line up. And that's actually, like I said, where the Livonia Police Department started becoming suspicious, started asking some, you know, follow-up questions to a lot of the stuff. And I think it became less of a focus as to, you know, we need to find this child in the mall as opposed to where is this kid? We don't think he's here. And it wasn't until a couple of years, I think it was 2007, maybe it was, right around that time, that the Livonia Police Department actually finally came out and made a statement this many years later that they do not believe that Dawan Sims was ever in that mall at the time that she says that he was there. They don't believe that he was ever in the mall with her, that she didn't bring him to the mall, and that he was never there.
How many more interactions did you or the security staff from the mall have with the Livonia Police Department after that day?
Yeah, sure. So I spent a couple days after in the police department working with one of the detectives, a sergeant there, who actually consequently was retiring at the end of the year, going through videotape. And I was telling him that, around the certain time that we were there, because apparently there was a discrepancy of an hour of time as to when she actually reported him and when I actually said that it had happened. And it was came down to that the times were wrong on the videotape. So there was a whole hour of difference there that it took place. But we did finally go through the tapes where I said that exactly I was and where we met her, and we actually found the only piece of video that we have of her on camera is of her meeting me at the time I said it was in the mall entrance where you know, down by the anchor store of Target. And that was the only time she was ever been on videotape alone, or I'm sorry, up until that point.
So just to be clear, we have no video footage of Dawana, the mother, on footage, no surveillance footage at all. And we have no surveillance footage at all of Dawana and her son, Dawan.
None that I have ever seen or have been made aware of. There was the other kind of, and it's not so much a theory, but there is a separate entrance to the mall that's right next to the anchor store that she could have very well walked through as well instead of even going through Target, which kind of makes more sense because Target's video never showed her on there.
But just to be clear, that's not the entrance that she said that she went into. When she told your staff and when she told the Livonia Police Department, she states that she went into a different entrance, and this entrance would have had security camera footage.
Correct.
And there's no footage of her going in to that entrance.
There's not. And that Monday after, she walked through the whole mall. It was pretty much like a media extravaganza. All the media outlets were there, Channel 2, Channel 7, Channel 4, Channel 50 at the time. They were all there in the mall. We brought Dawana Harris back into the mall to retrace her steps throughout the whole day as to where she was, where she went, and all that. So they, and the Livonia police was with her that whole time as well.
No, I never worked security, so I'm kind of the odd man out. You did. Nick did.
Yep.
If something like this happens, you're going to remember this. You're going to carry this with you.
Yeah, this is something that has stayed with you, Randy, and this is something you have carried with you for years.
Many years to this day, right? I set up a website for it. People want to know, like, what happened to this child? And if not, where he is, he has to be somewhere. And somebody has to know where he is or where he was at the time. Somebody has to know. There's somebody out there that knows this. And what we've asked for is just somebody please come forward. It is enough time has passed. Please somebody say something.
Since you've been following this case for so many years and you're local to the case as well, what has happened since 1994 with this case?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's been a lot of things. I mean, the first 5 years after were just a spattering of this and that. They had news... I believe one of the news companies hired a psychic to come in that after the house that she had lived in, they brought a psychic in to try and figure out what had happened. That ended up being nothing. There was a period of time where they found bones in a park not too far from the house that they had tested. They ended up being animal bones. I mean, there's been numerous things over the year that have happened. Every time there's a child abduction or something of that sort along that happens, it always kind of gets brought up. Everyone remembers this incident here in Livonia. You bring it up, and anybody who was around that time will know it. Some of the things that seem really significant now is the fact that I'm a parent now. Like, I have two girls, and if my kid ever went missing, that would be my life's work for the rest of my life until I figured out what happened. I think just locally now, just in the news, we hear about, is it Natalie Holloway's husband or father is now possibly found bones, remains of his daughter. You know, that guy never stopped. Like, nothing would stop me as a parent to find out where my child was if he was missing. Even 20 years going by, I'd still want to know. And she has, and I'll be as bold as saying, she's pretty much wiped him from the face of the earth. She's reached out to a group that I ran on Facebook about leaving her alone, leave her family alone, that we're causing her undue stress, that, you know, she doesn't want to deal with this, and, you know, her boy's gone, things of that sort. I mean, she almost, pretty soon after this happened, she moved away from the area. I find that odd because, you know, who would move away from the area that your child's missing from? She basically started a new life. I believe she has kids now and got remarried. I understand the fact that you move on with your life, but to wipe any kind of information about a son that you had years ago, gone, you know, just completely missing from your life, that your daughters don't know about it, that you have now, it's just very odd. She commented to a newspaper not too long ago, many years, about 5-6 years ago, about her having a picture of her son in her car, and that she looks at it every single day before she goes to work. I don't know how true that is, but I know that she has nothing on her Facebook when we've, you know, had interactions. So there's nothing at all in any of her social media that even mentions her son at all. So I find that very odd.
What information, Randy, do you have regarding the investigation itself and any type of communication that Dawana would have had with the Livonia Police Department?
To that point, I think it was the day after or 2 days after, she took a polygraph test and failed it. She failed the first polygraph test, went back in and took a second, and she actually physically ripped the paper out of the polygraph machine because she failed it a second time and then left. Yeah, there is so many things out there that point to her 100%. There's nobody else that has any information about where this boy is. The things leading up to that, that's the whole point, that's the mystery of everything, is where was she the night before? Up until the point where she said she got to the mall. Where was her son? There's a little bit of information out there. Some of the reports that I've been able to get a hold of, I know from the Detroit Police Department, a lot of the stuff was blacked out. But I did get a chance to talk to some of the detectives not too many years ago about the case who were on that, and they've even speculated as far as that the child actually didn't belong to or was not the man who met us that day, that it was not his child, that it happened to be the child of some guy that she was hanging out with who she just so happened to be with that evening. There's several stories that went around as that from the neighborhoods about the guy that she was with didn't want any kids, so she got rid of him. I mean, obviously all speculation and just rumors from around that part of town, but yeah, nothing else. There's nobody, there's been no ransom note, there's been no phone calls, nothing. It's just been complete radio silence since the day it's happened.
Locally, what are the rumors, and what's some suspicions that you have had?
You know, the rumors that she sold her child or gave her child to somebody, you know, that one was around a long time. But, you know, for the longest time, I believed that he was alive. And now, I mean, there's so much time that's passed now. I don't believe he's alive. I believe that this child's dead. I don't see how any other outcome could be the truth at the moment.
Any strange leads that you have come across through the website?
What's really strange is we did have last year or 2 years ago, we had somebody reach out to us and think that they were Dewan and that they didn't know who their parents were, and they felt like their parents were lying to them. They felt like they were the son. They were Dewan Sims, and they felt like they looked very similar to him, and they don't have a lot of recollection of their past, which we took that pretty seriously. I took all the information that we have and I forwarded it over to the Livonia Police Department. What happened with it at that point, I don't know. But that's the only time anyone's actually come forward and said, hey, I believe I'm this child. But seeing as though that was a while ago, nothing ever came of it, so I doubt it was anything of substance.
Randy, was there ever any other child abductions in that area during that time period?
So when it comes to other abductions in the area at the time or even in the past, zero, none. There was absolutely nothing on the radar of anyone ever being abducted in that city on that scale, let alone a child. And anything up until this point, I mean, never. There's never been anything that I know of a child abduction in that city.
But you do believe that her house was searched?
Yes. Yeah. She was definitely, her house was searched. I know that there were people who lived right by her who had recounted that, you know, the days that the police were there going through the house, and even after she moved out, they went back through the house. I don't know what time period that was, but I know that they did go through her house after she had moved out of it.
There was a public rally or some type of candlelight vigil where we have Dewana Harris going on record and complaining that because of the Susan Smith case, now this took place just months before Dewan went missing, she's claiming because Susan Smith was in the news that her son is not, they're not searching for Dewan the way that they should be.
Yeah, correct. So, I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, the Susan Smith case was taken up, was brought up right around that time, was when, if I'm not mistaken, that was the case where Susan Smith had said that her child was abducted by an African-American gentleman, and it really wasn't the case. She actually, I believe, drowned them or something of that sort. But, I believe she went on record saying that if this was the only reason that nobody's looking for her son or this doesn't have, larger outpouring of support, was that it was a young black child and nobody was looking for him in a white city. It was something along that line. I'm definitely paraphrasing, though.
You have firsthand knowledge that law enforcement and the community was not taking this case lightly.
Yeah, not at all. And I'm glad you hit on that, too, as well, because, I mean, they were out in force. The Livonia Police Department immediately, you know, was working with the Detroit Police Department. If I'm not mistaken, that the Detroit Police Department also then brought in the FBI. So you had, like, three different forms of law enforcement, or districts, or whatever it would be, working on this case. I know that areas of Detroit, I even went on a couple, and we were walking down, I didn't even have to do this, but volunteered to just go walk the railroad tracks looking around her area of her house looking for her son. You know, at that point, obviously, the police were thinking that maybe somebody dumped him or she had possibly maybe done something with him. But, weeks had passed. People were still out looking for him. I remember one night I was working in the mall, and some lady, I believe it was probably maybe like a week or two after this had taken place, somebody had heard some gossip or thought they heard something on the news that he was found in a dumpster in the back of the mall, and a bunch of people started running towards the back of the mall, and come to find out there was nobody out there. There was just a movie theater garbage or trash compactor that was back there, and there was nobody out there. They didn't find anything, but somebody started almost like a little bit hysteria in the mall, and like probably like 10 to 20 people were running through the mall trying to go see if they had found him in the back of a dumpster.
Randy, what, if anything, could have law enforcement done differently in this case?
You know, I'm a firm believer if they had that some of the technology that we have today, The only thing I can say, and this is not against any of the police department, is that I don't think that they were equipped for something like this happening. No one would have expected something like this to happen in a city like that. And I think that's maybe where if any misstep was taken, it was just that fact. Like, nobody would have thought that would have happened there.
Well, Randy, thanks for taking the time out to talk with us today, and thanks for your continued work on this case.
Yes, thank you, Randy, for all of your insights regarding the disappearance of DeJuan Sims. You have a wonderful and happy Turkey Day, my friend.
You too. Thank you.
This is one of those cases, Captain, that when you really start diving into the details, you really hope to find...
Wait, hold on. Once you can get to the details, this was one of the hardest cases. I mean, any of the research I did online, it was like kind of fictitious stories, fake news everywhere.
Well, you really hope that you can find somewhere in there that the mother is right, that what she's complaining about to the security and to the police department, what she's reporting to them, that it holds some truth. The fact of the matter is there's nothing there. There's no evidence that she was telling the truth at all that day. We have eyewitness testimony that states that she didn't arrive at the mall when she said she arrived.
Right.
And that she was seen in the parking lot pulling in and getting out of her vehicle without anybody with her, without a boy, a girl, or anybody with her at all.
Yeah, and I believe there was more than two eyewitnesses, but there's at least two credible eyewitnesses that saw her get out of her car with nobody with her.
And we also have a situation where we have her changing her story throughout the time that she's with the police officers. Mm-hmm. We have the police report that was taken that evening. Now, we might have some people that have reviewed that police report, and they'll say, well, Randy says that the security department was the one that notified the police. The police report, I believe, states that DeJuana's mother, Beverly Harris, called the police.
Right.
It's very likely that both of them did. The fact of the matter is that no report states that DeJuana Harris was the one that called police, or states that that the police should be called.
Yeah, and I don't know if that matters. But I think what matters here is the times that she is possibly lying, you know, or like people will say, well, maybe she didn't go into that entrance, so she wouldn't have been seen on tape. Well, she says that she, you know, lost contact with her son somewhere in the mall. Again, there's no footage of this. There's no footage of her in that mall with her son. There's no eyewitness that can place her and her son in that mall.
There's no footage of her entering the mall or the Target store in the entrance that she said on more than one occasion that she used. And what I mean by more than one occasion is she's had to go through her story time and time again. And she will stick to one story until there's no video footage to corroborate that. Then once that's pointed out to her, her story changes just a little bit. Mind you, she failed two lie detector tests within days of her son having gone missing.
Yeah. And again, so if you want to make an excuse, you can say, well, maybe you chalk that up to nerves. But when you're pointing out people on surveillance cameras and claiming that's you and your son, and they know that's not you, and then later on, the cops have to point her out to her walking by herself. The times never line up. It's very fishy. It's you know, to me, all the evidence points to that something happened, and this was her idea to cover it up.
You're exactly right. This looks to me like a pivot, Captain. Like something happened. I don't know if it was something on purpose or some type of accident, but something happened. And then she had to pivot, and she came up and presented this whole story of, you know, I'm going to take myself to the mall, and I'm going to report that he went missing. He was walking with me through the stores, through the mall, And that's what happened to my son and to my little boy.
Yeah.
She wasn't truthful that day. She wasn't truthful afterwards. And when her story started to fall apart, what she ultimately did was she turned this around on the police and the community. And both the police and the community had her back from the beginning. They wanted to believe her story.
Well,
they,
we don't
they
know.
Wanted to look for an abductor.
Yeah, but we don't know what the interactions are or were from the get-go with the police officers.
Well, what I do know is that they took her statements and they let her go at the end of the evening.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Well, and we know that they called in a bunch of backups, so they had a lot of officers at that mall looking for this child.
Right. But what I'm getting at here is when she didn't tell the truth and when things didn't go her way and once they didn't look beyond her, she basically said, you know what? They're screwing up this investigation. They're centering this thing around me. They're not handling this thing the right way. They're not looking for my boy because he doesn't look like the rest of this city. They're not doing everything that they can to find him. And we know that that's not the truth. There are plenty of newspaper reports,
right?
Third-party reports, that the Detroit Police Department was extremely active in the search for this little boy and active in the investigation into what could have happened with this little boy.
Well, and if they weren't told lie after lie after lie, they might know where to actually look.
We actually have one statement that came from the Livonia Police Department to the media at the time that said this came out just before Christmas, where the police department announced that they had received over 700 tips by the Christmas time. And since the boy had gone missing, that they had paid out over $43,000 in mandatory overtime because of all the searches for the boy. And just because the holidays were coming up, the mandatory overtime would not end. They announced that their officers may have to see their families, may not get to see their families on the holidays or spend time with their families, that they would have to work that around this mandatory overtime while this investigation was still hot.
I wonder if she picked the mall as a cover-up story because her mother worked there.
That's one thing. That, to me, almost seems like a dumb move on her part. And I don't think that Dawana Harris, I don't think she's stupid by any means. I think that she may have pulled something off and gotten away with something because I think she outsmarted a lot of us. Even though we were suspicious of her, I think that was her one dumb move, was going to where her mother worked at this part-time gig.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that out of all the people in her life and her son's life that would probably be really up in arms about this or be suspect of her, it'd be the mother, right? Her mother. So by having him supposedly go missing where you work and where there's surveillance cameras, that, you know, you're not going to focus on me.
Well, from everything that I read, this is what makes it a little tough for the investigators. From everything that I read regarding this case was that Beverly, the grandmother, Dawana's mother, she was in full support of her daughter during the course of this whole investigation.
Right.
However, I do want to be very clear about this. Everything I read regarding Beverly, the grandmother, she was extremely cooperative with the police. And
she's the one that called the police.
Right. She's the one that called the police. Her home was searched after during this investigation as well. But where we remain to this day, Captain, basically the facts of this case are this. Dawan Sims was never seen on any of the surveillance footage from that day when he was reported missing. There is not one single person that has ever come forward stating that they saw Dawan at the reported location of his disappearance. There is currently no activity on this case. The Livonia Police Department, they still to this very day hold the belief that Dawan Sims was not at the mall that day that he was reported missing.
Well, I think that's where all the evidence points. And I think if you're going to say otherwise, well, then you have to prove some evidence of that.
And we also have the mother who failed two lie detector tests just days following him having been reported missing. There have never been any charges filed against anyone in this case. And Dawan's mother, Dawana, to this day maintains her innocence in this case. But it also seems to me, Captain, like this investigation, even though they left it open, it looks to me that because of the person that this should center around,
right,
when she up and left town, I think she left her son's memory and anything to do with him in the rear view that day. And when she left, I think every lead and any potential of possibly solving this case left with her that day.
And I think we both agree, for the most part, on the idea that when you have a missing child and the parents leave that town, it's very odd.
Yeah, it's suspicious. It's not. It doesn't seem to be typical behavior. Now, we do understand that sometimes people have to leave because of their jobs, because their families, other things, pull them away to other cities. But 9 times out of 10, Captain, what we see is that a mother or a father, parents of people that disappear, of children that go missing, they don't up and move, especially children that are of a young age, because their thought is, you know what? If he or she ever breaks free, if they have that moment with the, where they could get reach out to me,
right,
they'll come back to their home where they grew up, where they remember living. Or most of the time, they don't even change their phone numbers.
Yeah.
Because for fear that one day, if they get the chance to pick up a phone and call and reach out for help, I better have that same phone number. I better be there to answer the phone or answer the door when my child, my missing child, comes back for help and comes back to me.
Now, if all this evidence is wrong, if there's a logical explanation for all this evidence, then I do feel for her, and that would make some logical sense on why she would want to move away and maybe why she doesn't have all these things on her Facebook about her missing son, because basically all the fingers point towards her.
And I'd like to tell you that there's a little light at the end of this tunnel, Captain. I don't see it here. I don't see this case getting solved. I mean, it's very strange that they've not recovered any remains that turned out to have been DeJuan to this point.
Right.
I mean, we're over 20 years later. They have from time to time released, you know, the age progressed photos of what he may look like. But I just don't see this one getting solved without any help from his mother, without any help from DeJuana or the close family members. There's a good chance that if anybody knows what happened, it's the mother. But there's also the potential that somebody else in that family might know something.
Right, that maybe she told somebody.
And without that information, I just don't see getting the break in the case that this thing needs. How about a little recommended reading, Captain?
All right, hit me.
Okay, here we go. This one has been long awaited for, and I highly recommend this one. It's called Member of the Family, and this is by Diane Lake. Who is Diane Lake? Mm-hmm. Well, she is the youngest member of the Manson family.
And Charles Manson just died.
In late 1967, at the young age of 14, Diane Lake became one of Charlie's girls, fully recruited and fully accepted into the Manson family. She was in the family for about 2 years, and she described the mixture of sexual manipulation, psychological control, and physical abuse that came with being a member of the family. She also talks about Charles Manson's true nature. Diane did not participate in the gruesome murders committed by the members of the family, but some of the members confessed to her. Following her arrest, she was able to transform trauma into triumph, finding the courage to face Manson and testify against him in court. Do yourself a favor and check out Member of the Family by Diane Lake.
And for holiday gifts, if you want to check out our website, truecrimegarage.com, if you click on our store page, we have the new logo shirts. Plus, I ordered a new batch of the Parts Unknown shirts and another round with different colors of the Douche Canoe shirts. So check those out.
All right. Here's the moment where we give thanks. We want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank everybody for telling a friend and for subscribing to the show. Everybody have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving. Until next week, we will see you back here in the garage. Until then, be good, be kind, and don't litter.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details.
Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.